Well, it's spring here in the South anyway, and we're talking about growing your own food. Welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dadgum gardening show on the internet, where we talk about gardening, a little bit of cooking, and growing your own food. Now sit back and enjoy. Hey folks, I'm Greg.
I'm Sheila.
And welcome to the Row by Row Garden Show, where we talk about growing your own food in your backyard vegetable garden. And in the South, where we live, Zone 8, spring has sprung. Mm-hmm. We got everything popping along. I got my watermelons planted.
Tomatoes
planted. Peppers planted.
Green beans.
Not quite. I'm a week off from my green beans just because I ran out of time. And I got my corn planted. And that's what we're talking about today, folks. Is corn. Everybody loves corn. It's not that complicated. We'll have to move you through the process of why you should be growing your own corn in your backyard garden. So what have you got growing that you want to show everybody? Because everybody around here is crazy in love with this.
Okay, so let me start this off with, I bought this at a big box store back in November, and somebody foo-fooed on me buying it that it wasn't going to work. I don't know who that could have been. But it is ready to harvest, and it is celery. I grew this in a root pouch, a 45-gallon root pouch, and it's just overloading. I had seen some other people grow celery. I didn't know we could grow it here in Zone 8B. But it has done awesome, don't you think?
I do. I really do. Everybody here is super excited. We take turns going. You grew this in a root pouch.
Uh-huh.
We take turns going down there, carrying people down there to show it, growing it. It's beautiful. I tell you what, let's show up a picture of that, okay. What it looks like in the root pouch here. Everybody here is crazy about it here. So to give a little backstory of this right here, I was at a commercial greenhouse operation back during late summer. In Florida. This was early fall, late summer, and they had a greenhouse full of celery plants. And up to that point, I know you call me naive, call me whatever you want to. I had no idea we could grow celery in this part of the world. I, for some reason, thought all the celery was going to California. Well, I asked the guys down there, and they said, no, a lot of the celery is grown down in Florida. Mm-hmm. So when she found these transplants and bought them, I didn't think it was going to do well, but has since then. I've done a lot of research, and I've been in contact with one of the breeders that we work closely with on other things that sells celery seed, doing some things there on that. We're going to be offering celery seed later on this year in the summertime, and we've been working on some varieties, and we're actually going to have a couple of trials doing. We're going to trial a couple of varieties against one another. The great thing is plant like onions. Plant it in the fall.
And over winter,
mm-hmm. And there you have it early spring. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't think it's going to be able to take our hot summers here, but I think you could grow it on into the spring a little bit further than what it is now.
And I treated it just like my onions. So when I fertilized my onions, I fertilized this broccoli,
mm-hmm.
Treated it exactly
celery.
Exactly the same as my onions. Nothing's been put on it other than microboost.
Yep. And some regular fertilizer.
Sulfate, ammonia.
So if any of y'all out there have experience growing celery in the past, we'd love to hear your story and what works best for you. When do you grow it for your zone, and when is the best time to grow it? There's only a couple of three varieties out there that's available for the home gardener there. There's a new upcoming variety here that we got some seeds ordered. Some we're going to be some trialing on. But we're going to be excited to offer this next year, and I'm going to grow me a bunch of celery next year.
What I've got, I only had 4 or 5 plants. I'm going to put in my freeze dryer,
mm-hmm.
to preserve it. But it tastes, it's like everything else. It tastes like celery, but it's just got a better taste than what you buy in the store.
Well. And it doesn't take many plants to have plenty of celery. I noticed that.
Yeah.
So, wow. Celery, folks, if you didn't know, and I did not know. So we're getting into springtime. I planted my corn this last week, and we thought, man, we got to talk about corn again. Because for us, and I'm not sure this is for everybody, because I think corn is one of those things that don't everybody grow because they're intimidated by it a little bit. For us, it's been a staple in our pantry for, what, 35 years? 38 years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember us not putting up corn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we may have put it up, well, there may have been a year or two where he might have some health reasons or something other.
Yeah. And when we first got married, we'd go help my mother. And it would be an all-day family affair, all my sisters, my grandmother, my mother, even my aunt sometimes. And then we just split it all up. Now, that was... We slung some corn.
We slung some corn because you figured we had to split it up between five or six different families. Yeah. So we had to have a lot of corn. Since then, we've kind of narrowed it down a little bit, and we just do it with our immediate family now. And sometimes your mother will come help.
Yeah, and I'll go help her.
And you'll go help her. But see, your sisters and everything's not into it as much as we are. And of course, our children, some are into it, some are not. So. It's not near as big a deal as it once was for us. But we have learned one thing in the last year that I think everybody found interesting is canned corn.
Yeah, canned corn. I only put up a small amount last year of the canned corn, but I plan to put up more this year because we really like it. And I was going to show you how I prepare it. Now, I warmed this up before I came in here.
What I like about this idea here is it didn't take any refrigeration.
No. So I've got some celery in here that I diced up. And you want to heat your corn up. Little bit of butter. You could actually leave that out, but everything's better with butter. Speaking of butter, I'm going to make me some homemade butter.
Are you?
Yeah.
We have a friend that gave us some fresh cow milk. It's still got the cream on it, so we're going to do it some home. We love butter.
So this is some Warrior Bunch of onions that I freeze-dried and some cilantro. Now, if I had some fresh little grape tomatoes, that would be good in here also. And then, of course, some salt and pepper. I might put too much pepper in there for you.
Mm. She stumps her toe on pepper.
I love pepper. But isn't that pretty? Look how good. You want to taste?
So this is a meal that we had the other night, or part of our meal here. So the thing about this is, people, you can grow your own corn. You can put it up. Now, we do it two different ways. We do it and we freeze it as this pack right here is. And this is more of a cream corn that we've done since we got married. Cream corn. We've always done. We just started doing the canned corn. The canned corn I really like because, heaven forbid, if we didn't have power, we'd got something there you can eat there. But we love it both ways. And would you say that last year you put up equal amounts of each one?
No, because I never put up canned corn before, so I wasn't sure.
Didn't have confidence, did you?
Well, and I did have one jar not sealed that. Had a little issues with it, but until I know that it's something we'll eat, I'm not going to put up a big batch.
Right.
But I will this year. Want to taste?
Yep. Now, the canned corn is crunchier than the cream corn.
It's like whole kernel corn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now this, you cut the kernels off. And then slide down through there and get the cream out. With this, it's just cut, you go a little bit deeper and cut kernels off. Isn't that good?
Now this, you put up in the spring or fall? This is spring.
Mm-hmm.
This is G90.
Mm-hmm.
This is G90 corn right here. Mm-hmm. And this was part of your, when you
previous year, yeah. I've got one pack left over from the previous year.
So last year, in the springtime, I grew G90. Then the fall, I grew the Seminole XR. So what ended up happening for us is I wanted to try Seminole XR for the fall crop because I've always grown ambrosia before, and I wanted to see how it would do, so I grew it. But we had enough corn last year that we put up with those two different crops because we made really good spring crop and a really good fall crop as well. So we put up plenty of corn. Had bones in it. It's got a little pepper in it.
The cilantro is pretty.
Yep.
That when you freeze fry that cilantro or those onions, you just got, it's like you cut up fresh right in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now everybody don't like cilantro, but we do. We like it. That's a good little good little side dish right there. It's easy to do.
Sort of like a corn salad.
Yep. All right, so let's move into corn right here. And let's talk, we're going to talk about primarily, we're going to be talking about sweet corn today. And we may put a little extra in there at the end with some field corn.
So sweet we have corn. A lot of corn videos out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll link the playlist up here. So what we're going to do today is just kind of briefly touch on some of the most popular questions we get about corn.
Mm-hmm. Before we do that, let's talk about why you want to grow your corn. So why we grow our corn is to have a staple that we can pull out of the freezer and eat at any given time.
Or off the shelf.
How often would you say we eat corn?
At least once a week.
At least once a week. So you plan on when you're putting up to put up enough that we can have it once a week year round.
Right. So I try to have, a bag a week.
Mm-hmm. And most of the time we eat it on Sundays.
Sundays, because that's your dad's favorite thing that I cook, and he always is over here on Sunday.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about how much corn would you need to grow if you was a family of two?
And in this bag, it's about 3 cups of corn. Mm-hmm. I used to put more in the bag, but as our family that's here on Sunday dwindles, this is the perfect amount. And I don't have any leftovers. So if you wanted to have some for leftovers, I would do more.
So these three of us eating off this meal mm-hmm. right here, yeah. All right, so I'm gonna give you some of what we planted, how much we yielded. Maybe this can give you an idea how much you need to plant. You got a family of four, just simply double this right here. All right, so last spring I planted a 30 by 45 plot. Mm-hmm. of G90 corn. I hadn't grown G90 in a long time. G90 is a yellow corn, as you can see right here. It's a good corn, but it is what we consider one of the easiest ones to grow. All right, I had 8 rows, 45 foot long on 36 inch row space. It yielded 410 ears of corn, because we kept up all this because we wanted to know how much we was going to get off this plot of land here. So 410 ears. We ate 50 ears fresh. Plus, and we gave some away to the neighbors, got some and all that. You creamed 360 ears of that. And you had 50 packs of corn. So we had a pack of corn for every week of the year minus 2 weeks. And you put up a few in the jars over there. Mm-hmm. All right, so you have plenty of corn for a year off of that one spot that's 30 by 45. So if you got a family of four, you probably need to grow twice that much. And that gives you an idea. Now, that I planted took a pound of corn seed. And I probably had a little bit left over because you don't get anything exactly. But I don't know exactly what a pound of corn seed costs, $29.
Something like that.
$29 or $30. Some of it's more expensive than others. But that's a lot of corn, and I know you got other costs in there besides seed. I know that. But for 30 bucks of seed, 50 packs of this, and then we have 50 ears that we ate fresh out of the garden is a
and
lot.
I'm not sure how much frozen corn costs, because like I said, I don't know that I've ever bought any corn.
We don't even buy canned corn.
Mm-mm.
So we don't know what corn is. We know what this is. We know what it was treated with and what it hadn't been treated with. We know how it was grown. We know how it was processed. So we just feel a lot better doing that.
Yeah. And we'll put these up on the website too.
Yep.
I mean, on the screen. So
yep.
You can see them.
Yep. All right. On corn spacing, you normally want to do 36 inches is my standard response. Now you can go down to 30 inches, but 36 inch spacing is what you want to do. And we're going to go over some varieties. Let's just touch on some of the touch points of corn in case people haven't seen it out there. Corn is one of those crops that we call kind of difficult to grow for the average person. And once you get the hang of it, hey, you got it. And if you've ever been farming much in your life and now you're gardening, you probably understand what I'm talking about. Corn does have very little room for error. And I'll tell you the reason why. It is such a fast grower. It grows so fast that you got to have everything there when it needs to be, or it's going to get damaged somehow or another, or it's going to stress, and that's going to have an impact on your yield. So that's one of the things. So fertilization, irrigation is two of the biggest things that we see people have a problem with there. So let's get into some of the questions of what people post to us, or what they ask us about corn, and we'll kind of try to answer that and move along.
One of the things is how much and when to plant. We kind of covered that. Do you advise transplanting corn?
You know, I do not. Now, a lot of people do. I've done it in the past. I got a good friend that's doing it now, Donnie Glover over there. But Donnie is an ex-corn breeder, and he'll readily admit it's kind of tricky to transplant corn. You have a very, very small window of when you can transplant it, and most people miss that window one way or the other. So I don't recommend transplanting corn. Direct seed it, and I think you'd be better off.
Spacing and timing of planting if you want to plant different varieties.
Yeah, so normally I plant my corn sometime in March. I have done it, and I got friends that do it at the end of February of year, but I will tell you this. If you plant your corn at the end of February and I plant mine the second week in March, they're going to come off at the same time because the heat takes care of that. So normally for us, Zone 8, plant your corn in the middle of March, your sweet corn on that right there. Now, you talking about pollination?
Not yet.
Okay. So you're talking about spacing, you're talking about plant spacing. We did 30, 36 inch rows in the row planting.
No, this is like, if you want to plant two varieties of corn, how long do you wait between planting each variety so you won't have cross pollination?
That's a little iffy because you don't know what the weather's going to do. So if the weather is normal and you don't plant too early, just like I said just a minute ago, if you plant at the end of February and I plant at the middle of March, they're going to come off at the same time. So there's a great possibility they're going to cross-pollinate.
Now, I had a caller just a while ago. He said, on your website, Temptress Corn says it will not cross-pollinate.
That's correct.
So regardless of what you plant, field corn, sweet corn?
It won't cross-pollinate.
Okay, that's right. What I told him.
Yeah, you have to worry about some of the ones. And you really, people overblow this out too much. But some of the ones like Silver Queen and Silver King and Bodacious Peaches and Cream, some of those will possibly cross-pollinate.
Now,
cross-pollination is not the end of the world. If you're not growing a seed crop, don't worry about it a whole lot. If you plant a yellow corn and you got a white corn cross close by, yeah, they can mix up and you can have some yellow and white,
yeah.
But it's not that big of a deal.
I read, this is on one of our standard responses, that field corn needs to be isolated from sweet corn so there's no cross-pollination, and that if you're in an agricultural area, try to plant your sweet corn 300 feet from the nearest cornfield.
Correct. Now, you're talking about field corn versus sweet corn. Just a minute ago, I was talking about different sweet corns. Yeah, you're correct. If you got field corn, you definitely need to do it further away, or you can create that window and do it that way. And that's exactly what I'm going to do because we don't have that much room. We can move it away. So what I do is I plant my sweet corn. I planted this last week. I'm probably going to wait 3 to 4 weeks before I plant my field corn. And that's going to give me a long enough window there so we don't have to worry about cross-pollination.
Okay, on the same subject, what causes lack of pollination? Like the ears with few kernels on it?
We see that all the time. People show an ear and it doesn't fill all the way to the top. Most of the time, that is from, it's a pollination issue. Corn is pollinated by the wind, not by insects. So you got to grow them in these blocks instead of these long rows. As I said the other day, about a 30 by 30 plot square, I think it's about the smallest plot you need to do simply because of pollination.
Can you grow it in a raised bed?
You can grow it in a raised bed. I don't recommend it. People do it, and you see people online, YouTube, whatever, doing it. I think your time is better spent growing other things in a raised bed besides your corn. Plant your corn in these blocks like I was talking about, those 30 by 30. And I think you'd be better off. If you just had to grow you 4 or 5 corn stalks to satisfy that you could do it, you can do it that way. I wouldn't count on making much corn out of a raised bed.
What's your best advice to give when your corn gets blown over?
Just leave it be. Sun to pull it back up. And we have this happen every year. And I'll be honest with you, I've had it happen a fair amount and during my life too. If it gets blown over, one of those thunderstorms come in when your corn is fully grown and blows it over, the sun will draw most of it back up the next day. Can be extremely disheartening. But most times, just leave it alone. The sun will pull it back up. There's been one time a hurricane come through here that blew my corn down. That I lost it from being blown down.
It blew a lot of things away.
It blew a lot of things away.
If you're using drip tape, how deep do you need the drip tape versus the corn on top of it?
So what you're asking is how far do I bury my drip tape? And then when I come back, how far do I plant? So in a garden situation, now if you go online and look at this, you're going to get some different opinions because a lot of corn planting material out here says plant corn deeper. But when you're planting in a garden situation, you got plenty of moisture that you can put on it, when it needs to be, you can do things a little bit different. I normally put my drip tape down 2 to 3 inches, and I plant my corn anywhere from a half inch to an inch down on top of my drip tape.
Okay. How to choose your sweet corn variety.
Now that's a great one right there. So most people get hung up on particular varieties. And I would dare say, I think you'll agree with me, the most popular variety is Silver Queen.
And peaches and cream.
If you was to ask somebody that's been growing corn for 30 years, what's your corn that you grow? They're going to tell you one of them two there. Mm-hmm. Now, there used to be a variety there called Merit that a lot of people grew. Mm-hmm. Merit is gone by the wayside. Merit is no more. Now, those corns were great and still are, but there's a lot better corns out there now than they were then. So I would encourage you to not get hung up on one particular variety, because it's easy to happen. I'm kind of on that right now. I'm on one particular variety. But there's great corn varieties out there. Some of them have different levels of difficulty as far as growing them. And let's go over that. This might help you a little bit decide which one you want to grow. All right, I got this big old graph right here. Corn varieties by grower. And let's talk about how much experience you got growing corn. The first one is the easiest ones to grow are your G90, which we have right here, Silver Queen, which we have probably grown more Silver Queen in our life than we have any other variety, Stoll's Evergreen, which is on this whole list. Stoll Evergreen is the only heirloom that we have on the whole list. And then we have Sugar Buns. So if you're new to growing corn, I would definitely tell you to grow one of these four right here. Now, then we move on to the middle level grower. These mid-level varieties here offer more. They have more sweetness to them. They have other things that they last longer at harvest time. They have a longer harvest winter interval. And the mid-level ones are peaches and cream, which is another, as you said, super popular variety. You reckon why?
Because people like the bicolor, and the name just sounds as good.
It just sounds good on peaches and cream. Ambrosia, which is another good one. Ambrosia has always been my go-to variety in the fall. Ambrosia is also a bicolor. Then we got Silver King, and I grew Silver King probably 15 years ago. Now, I was not crazy about Silver Queen, because I think I tried to grow it the same way I did Silver Queen, and it didn't do as well for me. Incredible, Bodacious, and then Greg's favorite at the moment is Seminole XR. That's the one I'm on. That's one I grew last fall. I just love that variety at the moment. Now, some of the hardest ones to grow that probably have the most to offer as far as flavor and sweetness are Honey Sled. You remember about 4 years ago we grew Honey Sled?
I did.
Really sweet variety.
I didn't care for that much sweetness.
No, but a lot of people do. If you was to do a taste test, I'll guarantee you it would probably win over some of the varieties that we like. Mm-hmm. Temptress, Providence, Avalon, Primus, Serendipity is one of our most popular varieties. Yellowstone, Navara, and Eating are the hardest ones to grow. Now, that being said, don't be intimidated by that little graph we did and say, well, I won't try some of these Honey Select or whatever, but it's harder to grow. You can grow it. It's just, it takes more, a little more attention. They're not quite as forgiving.
Okay.
I'm talking about as far as fertility and irrigation watering goes. Now, let's talk about watering just for a second. We always plant ours on drip tape. We have for a long time. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that's the only way you can do it, because I grew up for years with overhead irrigation. But I will tell you this right here. If you're planning on doing overhead irrigation, you better have your strategy in place before that corn gets up 5 or 6. So when that corn starts tasseling is the very moment you cannot stress that corn. It needs the most moisture. So if you're going to overhead irrigation, what I used to do is I took a barrel, a 55-gallon metal barrel, and put it in the middle of my corn patch, and I would put my sprinkler on top so that it could water overhead. Mm-hmm. I had about a 5-foot sprinkler. I would sit on top of that, and I could get over the top of it. Otherwise, I couldn't water it with a sprinkler because my sprinkler was not tall enough. My point is, if you're going to grow it and do overhead irrigation, be prepared for what you're going to have to do when it gets big.
Yeah, I remember you doing that.
Yep. And you get soaking wet, wallering out there in the middle of the in the middle of the night, you're sneaking out there trying to get your water.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun.
Another question is, when to fertilize?
When to fertilize. So I like to fertilize right when it comes up. Sometimes I have been known to do a pre-plant, but most time...
If you did a pre-plant...
I use Complete Organic for a pre-plant. Put it down there a week ahead. Now, this is ideal, folks. Put your complete organic down a week before, maybe 2 weeks before, into your soil where your rows are going, not just where your rows are going. When you plant, after it comes up and it gets about 2 to 3 inches high, I do another light fertilization on it as well from there. If I'm doing drip injection, I do it every 10 days. If I'm doing a granular side dress, I'm probably going to end up doing it about 3 to 4 times. You're better off to split those applications up than do it all at one time. And then I rotate between a regular balanced fertilizer, such as 10-10-10 or a 20-20-20, and Chilean nitrate or ammonia nitrate. Mm-hmm. Let's say ammonia nitrate would be okay. And hold on just a minute. Chilean nitrate. We got calcium nitrate, and I normally don't use it on corn. Ammonia sulfate, I normally wouldn't use. Yeah, ammonia nitrate or Chilean nitrate with alternating with the balanced fertilizer.
And if you look on Haas University under our growing guides, all this is spelled out, even the fertilization schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily reference that. Harvesting. When do you harvest?
Harvest when that, I think we got a video on that, but it's when that silk gets nice and brown, you harvest. And that's the good thing about some of these newer varieties that we talked about that's harder to grow, is they have a longer window of when you can harvest them. Now, the simplest or easiest ones to grow, you got a smaller window when they get ready to harvest. When that Silver Queen gets ready to harvest, you got to harvest and you got to do something with it that day.
What about field corn? Now, that you're not...
It's two different ways of field corn. Now, we can eat field corn in the milking stage, like we like to do sometimes.
You do. I don't care for it.
Really?
Yeah.
I like to put it on the grill and grill it and eat it in the milking stage. Now, field corn, after it dries out, such as this right here, you want to harvest it when your moisture content gets down. Everything's totally brown on the stalk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to talk about the different types of sweet corn or not?
No, we've already covered that.
Okay. I think that's all.
Let's talk about harvest just a minute. We're not harvest long, but pest at harvest time. Okay. Probably the biggest one is corn earworm. And that's that little worm that gets in the end of your corn right there. Now, there's two ways I help control this right here. One is by planting early. Most of the time, if you plant, that's the reason we like to get our corn planted early, because of the corn earworm. The earlier the corn, most of the time, the less worm pressure you have. Second thing is when that corn starts tasseling, you can treat with a bifenthrin insecticide or a spinosad insecticide over the top, and that'll help mitigate that problem, I guess is the best way to put it. Now, sometimes we have more corn earworm problems than we do other times, certain years. And if you get a worm in the top of that ear, just cut it out. Don't throw the whole thing away.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
Corn, folks, you got to be growing your own corn. And look here, I'm going to touch on one thing right here. I got to just hit this one time. We've got two varieties that I'm absolutely crazy about, one of them right here, and this is Jimmy Red Corn. We love to make that cornbread and grits out of it. We love to grow this one. And another one that I'm going to grow this year, I'm not growing Jimmy Red this year because we've got plenty of it in the freezer from last year, Hickory King, which is an old heirloom variety. It's a white corn that I love that I'm growing this year.
So how much going back to how much to grow, because I get this question too, of this Jimmy Red, you had it in the same patch that you had the G90 in, right?
No.
A couple years ago?
I had it in the same patch a couple years ago? No, I did not. No, I rotated it.
So how big it was this Jimmy Red?
Now, the spot was about the same size.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe just a little bit bigger. It was just, I won't say it was a 40 by 45 plot.
And so we harvested it. Now, we used it for some corn feed, some hog feed.
And we still got a bunch left over.
I ground some up and gave it to my worms. And then that's pretty much all I've been using to make cornbread and grits.
Yeah, so if you want to grow you a spot of field corn, I would say a 40 by 45 would be a good spot there to start with.
And we just shell it and store it in the freezer till I get ready to grind it.
Yeah, put it in a pillowcase and we get ready. We're just going to pull out what we want and grind it and have it fresh. So, folks, have a plan on growing your corn. Now, this is the last thing I'm going to say about corn. Okay? When it's time to harvest it, if you grow you a decent spot of this right here, have you a plan action, a plan of action in place to help with some family and friends to help you with this right here. It can be a little overwhelming at harvest time to put it up. So go ahead and have everything planned out of how you want to preserve it.
Start early in the morning. You don't want to be shucking corn in the middle of the
when it's that time of the year. I am in the field because my job, one of my jobs is to pull it, and I do that by myself. I am in the corn patch at the break of day, mm-hmm. pulling corn. So
then you shuck it.
Then I shuck it. Then you kind of take
and
it over.
And then I silk it and cut it off. Yeah. Yep. But it's an all-day thing.
It's an all-day thing. Great family activity, but it's not for somebody that don't want to work.
Yeah. Our kids used to help with it when they were here.
All right, so let's move on. Folks, got to plant your corn. There you have. We got some basics here. We have the corn growing guide. Have any other questions, put them down below or post in our RoboRo Facebook group because we got a lot of good corn growers in there.
Yeah, comment what kind of corn you're growing this year. What's your favorite?
All right.
Okay, Garden Spotlight, and we're going to throw up some pictures from Austin Donaldson. And they just grow a little bit of everything. Now, they're in Zone 8.
Wow.
Now, they didn't give me the state, but they gave me the town, Brooklet. And when I looked at the town, it says it's in Georgia.
Never heard of
so that. So they're kind of like where we at.
Yep, cool.
These pictures are awesome. Just a little bit of everything.
Thank you, Austin.
All right. Old goat drawing.
Yep.
Old goat is really hid this week.
So if you didn't know, you need to show there's an old goat hidden on the set here. So when we do a drawing every week. Put your comments below if you found the old goat, and we'll send you a prize after we do our drawing and draw your name. Are we ready?
Ready.
This is from last week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the winner is Jody Rutherford. There we go, Jody. Jody, send us your shipping address to CustServeHallStools.com, and we'll get you a fabulous gift in the mail.
All right. Corny joke.
Corny joke. I'm ready. I'm focused.
Well, I'm going to do a corny joke. We're talking about corn. We had a corny joke.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
You should get this one.
Should get this one. That's pressure.
Yes. Why does gossip spread so fast?
Because corn
in
has,
the corny field.
Because corn has ears.
Because it moves from ear to ear so
easily. Partially got it.
Yeah. It's kind of a twist on that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, thank y'all, folks. If you've never grown corn before, I encourage you to try it. It's a great food source, growing your own food, being prepared. Hey, that's what it's all about. And I will promise you the taste is magnificently different than what you buy in the store. And you know exactly what's in there. So thank you for joining us. Now it's time for you to get dirty.